Gospels. One of Jesus' favorite metaphors for spiritual leadership, one he often used to describe himself, was that of a shepherd, a person who tends God's flock. A shepherd leads, feeds, nurtures, comforts, corrects, and protects. In fact, the word pastor means shepherd. The Apostle Peter wrote these words to pastors who would have been familiar with sheep and shepherding. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. Pastor Jacques has certainly been God's faithful shepherd to us here at NFBC for over 10 years. Pastor Jacques, I would wonder if you and Tatiana and your family, would you please stand for us? Folks, would you please join me in acknowledging the Mitchell family? The Nadeau family has touched the hearts of many of us here, and we invite you all to join with us immediately after this service in our new fellowship hall and take the opportunity to meet with them, share memories, and possibly renew acquaintances. Our ladies have prepared some delicious snacks. There will be hot and cold drinks, so be sure to join us for a great time of fellowship. Also, if you did not get a chance to sign our guest book or write special notes in our 10th anniversary gift book, those will both be available in the fellowship hall later. We trust that you will be blessed in this service of thanksgiving. Would you all join me in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we could be here. Father, I thank you most of all for you, for the opportunity that you've given us all, and the blessing that you've allowed this church to be in this community. Father, tonight we're here to honor our pastor and his family. And not to honor them or to make them better than anybody else, but Father, to thank you for what you've done through them in this community. I thank you, Father, that they've served this church, that they've been shepherds to this church. Every one of us here has been blessed by who they are. But at the end of the day, their entire desire is to bring you glory. And in all things that we do tonight, that's our desire as well. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the people that are here. But I pray most of all that you would be blessed by what we do here tonight. In Christ's name, amen. I'd like to now invite Joshua, Nathan, and Sarah to come and share with us this time.
Tonight, Nathan, Sarah, and I will be singing a song for you, a song which my dad wrote called This Song of Grace many years ago. A long time ago, my dad would get preaching and trap free, something he used to do many, many times. And while he was studying for a sermon, Nathan and I were in another room playing. My mom was there. And he came out and said, "Guys, listen, I want you to listen to this poem in my room." So he read us the poem when we were young. And it was good. And then it was put to music recently. It was re-put to music recently by a friend of mine here.
It's a glorious song, this song of grace that has moved my Savior. And hang upon that cursed tree and drink the cup of wrath.
Yeah, Eileen, you can go sit down now. It's okay. That's my wife I'm talking to. I can do that. If anybody knows my wife, which most of you probably do, and if you don't, you'll hear her soon enough, I'm sure. But you'll understand. Anyway. Come on. I'm trying to lighten the mood a little bit. That's all. Actually, on that note, do you know that it's very ironic that today, the first day in over 10 years that Jacques has been with us, because technically we are just a little bit late on celebrating this 10th anniversary. We're, I think, a month or two behind, really, at the end of the day. But in the 10 years plus that Jacques has been here, this is the first time today, ironically enough, that he's slept in for church and missed the services for us. Now, those of you who are here this morning understand. For those of you who weren't here this morning, I will take, just for God's sake, just to explain, I'll take just a brief moment to explain. He was down in Buffalo to pick up his son, Josh, I believe it was, right? He was coming back on a flight that was supposed to be coming into Buffalo. There was a horrible storm down there along the shore of Vince. Josh and Tatiana drove to Syracuse last night in the wee hours of the morning to pick up their son so they could all be here today. So he didn't get home from that ordeal until the 8:39 o'clock this morning. And I guess we all sympathize with how happy a few hours sleep. Anyway, it is a special day that we celebrate today as we acknowledge Jacques and Tatiana's 10 years with us here at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. And I have to be perfectly honest with you, when this idea was put forward to me some time ago, I was very uncomfortable with the idea of full service focused on this one issue, specifically giving honor to one person, or in this case, to a couple. And just let me take a moment, I'm going to take a moment to explain why I feel uncomfortable with that. But also to further set the context of this evening to explain why I believe that what we do here tonight is actually a very good thing, very honoring to God. So, my concern stems from the fact, and probably something that all of us are aware of or have seen or maybe experienced, is the propensity for some people in the church to worship their pastor. To put that pastor in a place of worship, to somehow portray that pastor or treat that pastor as somehow more worthy, more gifted, more special, more something, to turn their eyes and focus on the person and take their eyes off of Christ. And that does happen, unfortunately, sadly, in some cases. And so my fear would be that tonight would be a night like that. And of course, that is not going to be the case. It is not the case, and I've always spoken to the people involved and everybody who's organizing this, and that is not the desire of the heart. So that is good. But as we also know, sometimes when pastors who are on the receiving end of that kind of praise and exaltation, sometimes allow it to actually affect them and take it to heart and actually allow that, they believe those things, that they are somehow better and more worthy. And sometimes that leads to pride, leads to exorbitant living. And in the case where a pastor may have a moral failure, it leads to a lot of disillusioned people to put their focus on a person, not on Christ. So I think it would be fair to say, Jacques, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the only person probably more comfortable than me in this one, particularly me, is Jacques himself. And that's exactly why I'm okay with it. Because the heart of this man here, and his wife, is such that he is not the one who's taking pride in the good things. He is not the one who's going to let this go to his heart or to his mind and affect. He knows, as we know, that what we do here tonight is to give glory to God. That is his focus, and that is our focus, and I know that's your desire, that is our desire, that's what we're doing tonight. That is what we're doing tonight. So that is the context in which everything we do tonight is meant to be. Give glory and honor to God. Our pastor is a humble man. He does not want to be the center of attention. He doesn't want to even say what I just said, but he is. He's a man who seeks God diligently. He's a man who prays for his church, this church, every one of them, probably by name. Faithfully. He's a man who preaches the word boldly. A friend of mine up here from Virginia last week, he was actually a work friend, a work colleague, and he's a sort of pastor. I say sort of, he's a part-time pastor, he's a full-time job, he's a part-time pastor down there in Virginia. And when he left here, he said, "Boy, your pastor preaches pretty well. Preaches the truth, he doesn't hold much as I like to hear. We like that. We appreciate our pastor. I said to you this evening that you're here to give honor to a pair of God's servants, Jacques and his wife Tatiana, but we're here to do that in a way that is honoring to God and brings all the glory to Him. We do so with our eyes focused on Christ, on God, His faithfulness, acknowledging that it is God who brought Jacques and Tatiana here. It is God who gives him and her the strength by the power of his Spirit. It is God who sustains them. It is God who leads them. And in his humility, Jacques knows that this is true, and that without God, his ministry here would be powerless and perhaps non-existent. I believe he is a man who seeks God's power. When the Apostle Paul gave young Timothy instructions for the church, he admonished them by commanding this: "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine," 1 Timothy 5. It is interesting to note that in the Bible, many people are mentioned as people who should receive honor. But only pastors, only those who lead and teach in the church, are to be given double honor. That is an interesting instance, right? I'm going to give you double. It is honor that is shown by an attitude of honor, consistent with 1 Thessalonians 5:12, 13, where Paul says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you, and who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." And so tonight, desire is to show our pastor that honor. Let's appropriately do him for his 10-year milestone of faithful service here at Newcastle. Be careful not to worship him, but instead give all the ultimate glory, the ultimate praise and honor to our faithful God who has blessed us so much. Shall I continue?
I was thinking about what I was singing tonight. I came across a verse that I think really fits the occasion, and it's Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he which began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We look forward to that day, when we're going to meet him face to face. And none of us will be more surprised, I guess, than me when I get there. But the Lord has promised in his book that he that hath begun a good work in you will perfect. And of that, there's faith. And we just want to thank the pastor and his good wife, family too, because they play a good part in this ministry and work. And a song that was given to me many years ago, and when I got the program, I discovered I had to sing it. So you're going to have to put up with it.
Of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I will all to thee. To God be the glory. I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With his blood, he has saved me. With his power, he has raised me to God. Be the glory for the things he has done.
Amen.
Scriptures, please, and we'll go to John 1, verses 1 through 23. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." We are pleased to have Pastor John Bennett with us this evening. He is the director of Faith Mission in Canada, and he and his wife Isabel make their home in Campbellville, Ontario. Pastor Bennett has blessed us with his ministry on numerous occasions. He is a man who loves God and is his faithful servant. Pastor, please come up and share with us.
Thank you very much. It's a very, very real honor to be here tonight to share this service for Jacques and Tatiana. When I looked at the program and saw the list of all the various hierarchy that are going to be here, I thought, what am I doing here? But I feel really privileged and honored to be here. I first of all want to bring greetings and express appreciation from all of the Faith Mission family for your ministry, both here and in other places. And then also, I thought at the beginning I should set something a little bit straight, that I know that there is a statement which people say that that behind every good man is a good woman. I'm not sure if that's what should be said in this case. I think what we should say is, beside every good man is a good woman. Because I think in this case, they stand shoulder to shoulder. We have had the privilege of watching both John and Tatiana here at various times when we've been here and in their home. And we have had Pastor John preach at various retreats, both here and retreats in D.C., and he has preached at convention back in Ireland. Of course, that almost completed his education. To get to Ireland, there's only one thing wrong about it, and at least I know there's one other person who would agree he was at the wrong part of Ireland. If he'd been in the south part, it would be better, but it was the next best thing. Yes, that's right. I knew there was somebody who would agree. But watching them, and Tatiana has spoken at the ladies' retreats at our center in Campbellville, and I see John and Tatiana as a team together, and we have certainly come to greatly appreciate them. Now, to get on here, I see there's a great list of people going to share, and one advantage of being the first, you can take whatever time you like, the rest you can have to put up with what's left. Is that right? I did hear of somebody who was at a speaker, and there had been a number of people before him speaking, and time had run away, and so this guy got up to preach, and he read out his text, and the text of scripture he read like this: all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. Well, I hope I won't do that tonight for those who are here. The text that you'll see in your order of service is found in this chapter that we read together, and I want to just make reference to this tonight. And it says here in John chapter 1 and in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I would almost like to change that tonight and say there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And I'm sure we'd all agree with that. But to come to the scriptures and look at the man that was sent from God here, we know his name was John the Baptist. If you, and I don't want to take time tonight to go back through, but if we went to Luke's Gospel, we'd learn quite a little bit about John the Baptist. In the first chapter, in verse 13, we know that he was born in answer to prayer. The angel that came to Zechariah said to Zechariah, "Your prayer is heard." He and his wife, Elizabeth, were now quite elderly. They had been praying for a child, and God gave them this son in answer to prayer. He was born into a godly home where his parents loved and served God and sought to bring him up in the right way. He was dedicated to God right from birth, and they sought to bring him in that way, to walk with God. What did this man look like? What does a man sent from God look like? Well, John the Baptist, we know from Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, he was a man who was filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to leave your pastor to give you all the theology of this one, but it says here that right from birth, from his mother's womb, he was filled with the Spirit of God. Well, whatever about how he's going to explain that next Sunday to you, we know that he lived a Spirit-filled life, and that is so important. He was a humble man, and we heard that already about our pastor here, but he was a humble man. We see that from the clothing that he wore, camel's skin, but also from his, when he was spoken to and questions were asked to him about who he was and what he did. Remember what he said, speaking of Jesus. He said, "He must increase, I must decrease." Seen in his attitude, a humble man. He was a faithful man, right to the very end. You know that his life was taken to him from him as a martyr because he was faithful to God and faithful to the Word of God. I suppose you would all agree with me that those things could be said about your pastor here. spirit-filled man, a humble man, a faithful man. What was the passion of the heart of this man in the scriptures, John the Baptist? A man sent from God. If we could look into his heart, what was his passion? Well, as we read through the scriptures, we know that the passion of this man's heart was to preach the word, the message that God gave him to preach. And we see that right from the beginning as he begins to preach. He challenges people about their sin. John the Baptist doesn't beat around the bush, as we've heard also about our pastor Jacques here. He didn't just try to cover over things. He preached it as it was, challenging men and women about their sin, whether they were religious or irreligious, whether it was the ruler or the person on the street. He preached and challenged people about their sin. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 19, we have that illustrated for us. He called men and women to repentance. One of the great messages of John the Baptist was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Calling people to come to a place where they turn from their sin and turn to God and were transformed. He pointed people all through his ministry, not to John the Baptist, but he pointed people to Jesus. I'm so encouraged and so thrilled to be here tonight at this service as you honor your pastor and his wife and family, because we know without any shadow of a doubt that here's a man who preaches the message God gave to him. Here's a man who calls people to repentance. Here's a man who points people to Jesus. Not to Newcastle Baptist Church, not to the Nadeau family, but to Jesus. And also, the passion of this man's heart was to prepare the way of the Lord. We read that here in the scriptures. He came to prepare, to make straight the way of the Lord. And tonight, we know that that is the passion of your pastor's heart. For the past 10 years, I know, even though we haven't been here every Sunday, but while we've been here and listened in the place of prayer in that fellowship room, as we've met morning after morning with the group here to pray in those Thirsting for God conferences, I know that the passion of your pastor's heart is to prepare the way of the Lord. For 10 years, he's been preaching and calling men and women and pleading with people and pleading with God that this church would be a place of prayer. That God's people here would be a people of prayer. That this church would be a place where men and women live lives that are pure and clean, calling people to a life of holiness and purity. And that this church would be a place of passion, where the heart of men and women would be filled with a passion for God, a passion for the lost, a passion for the Word of God. For 10 years, that message has been going out from here. As I was praying about this service this evening, I was thinking, what should I bring to the church as a message on this 10th anniversary of your pastor being here? What is the message that God would want me to leave with you? And there was one text of scripture that came burning to my heart. And you all know this very well. If you've been to this church, if you've listened to this pastor, you have heard this scripture. If you've been in the place of prayer with him, you've heard him pray this scripture. And it's 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. The passion of your pastor's heart, the burden on his soul, is that this scripture might be fulfilled in Newcastle, right here in this church and in this community. In this scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, we have God speaking. He says, he is speaking, he says, if my people, called call by my name, it's God who is speaking. The wonderful thing about it is this, that while your pastor preaches with authority, when God speaks, he speaks even with greater authority. God always speaks with authority. He's got the authority to say what he says. Not only that, he's got the ability to do what he promises. He speaks with confidence. I know your pastor speaks with authority because he speaks the word of God. He speaks with confidence because his faith is in the God who made the promise. But when God himself speaks, friends, we need to take note. We need to listen. We need to hear what God says. And one of the problems I found with this scripture, well, it's a tremendous promise. It's a tremendous scripture. It's a word that came from God himself to God's people. We become so familiar with this scripture that it loses its power and its impact on our lives. But I want you to think about this, and I don't want to take too long tonight because I know there's many others following here. But God is speaking here, and he's speaking to his people. If my people, he says, who are called by my name, you know, when we look out on our world today, and even look out on our own country today, or look out on our own communities today, and you sit around a table with a group of people discussing the problems that we're facing today, you'll generally find that people talk about the government, whether it's the Prime Minister or the Premier or the Mayor, or whether it's maybe it's the person who's responsible for education, and we talk about the education system and the problems there, or we talk about just all those people who are liberal and not preaching the gospel, who don't know Christ, who stand in pulpits. But when God addresses a problem in a nation, he doesn't address any of those people. He addresses his people. God is saying, if my people, and we have gathered together to celebrate tonight, but we've also gathered together to hear God speak to us as his people, calling us to do something. What does he call people to do in this scripture? He says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. But I believe, I'm absolutely confident in saying this, that there is nothing that would thrill your pastor's heart and his wife's heart tonight more than to see a people humbling themselves, seeking the face of God, turning from their wicked ways. There's nothing would thrill them more. On this 10th anniversary, Sunday, if my people will humble themselves, we're talking about John the Baptist here, who was humble, pointing to Jesus. We're talking about a pastor who is humble before God. But God wants us to humble ourselves and acknowledge our need. We are a needy people today, friends. The church in Canada is a needy church today. We need to humble ourselves and acknowledge that if we're ever going to see God move in power, ever going to see the passion of the heart of your pastor fulfilled, we need to come to a place where we humble ourselves and acknowledge our need. Then if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. How many times in the old gymnasium have I heard your pastor pleading the people to seek the face of God? At our retreats, when he has spoken, he is pleading with people to become a people of prayer. God's call tonight, I believe, on this 10th anniversary, is a fresh call to Newcastle Baptist Church and to all of us who are here to humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God as never before. My prayer is that the great tribute that you would pay to your pastor tonight is to dedicate yourself afresh to the place of prayer, to join him as he pours out his heart in prayer to God in these weekly prayer meetings that are held in this church. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face. and turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. If we're going to see repentance outside the church, I think we first of all need to see repentance within the church. Is that right? We have become so tolerant of sin. It's such a sad thing today. We tolerate sin so easily. I sometimes watch and sometimes even listen to it. As I sit listening to some people preach, and they'll make a statement something like this, you know. Well, you know, we sin in thought, word, and deed every day, all the time. I'm not saying that any of us live sinlessly perfect lives, but I can say this, we shouldn't be able to make a statement like that without being grieved in our spirit, because we've grieved the heart of God. And there's a call to repent, for the church of Jesus Christ to repent. If my people do this, what does God say He'll do? God says, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sin. Then I will heal the land. David, remember in Psalm 51, he cries out to God. He said, oh God, my sin is ever before me. And he cries out to God to create in him a clean heart. And God, David says, then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted unto you. You see the steps. He cries out in repentance. He seeks God for cleansing. Then he said, I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners would be. The same principle here in 2 Chronicles 7 and in verse 14. My humble conviction that revival is possible in 2014. It's my conviction that revival is possible in Newcastle in 2014. It's my conviction that revival is possible in Newcastle Baptist Church in 2014. It's my conviction that God sent a man sent from God, to be the pastor of this church, to lead you with a heart filled with a passion for God, for people, for prayer, for revival. I believe God has sent a man that he could use right here. God is looking for a people who will pay the price, who will fulfill the conditions, who will humble themselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways. And God says, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal the land. Isn't it an amazing thing that the God of heaven would listen to somebody like us? You ever think about that? I'm constantly amazed that the God of heaven would listen to me. That he would listen to me. What have I got to offer to him that would make him listen to me? Would he covenants in this text? He makes a covenant with his people that he will hear us. What a privilege. One of the great privileges of being a Christian is the privilege of communion with God. A God who hears our prayer. One of the great privileges of being a Christian is to unite with other people in prayer. The God who hears. He covenants to hear. And we could talk a good bit about this, thinking that we know if we know He hears us, then we know that we have the petitions, and we could look at the promises there. But God covenants to hear. Not only does He covenant to hear prayer, He covenants to forgive sin. What a privileged people we are. To know that the promise in 1 John chapter 1 holds true in 2014. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all unrighteousness. He promises to forgive sin. There's not a soul needs to go out of this building tonight under the burden of sin and guilt, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. We fulfill the conditions by humbling ourselves and praying and seeking His face and turning from our wicked ways. Then He will hear and He will forgive. We can go out clean because of the blood of Christ, because of the grace of God. And He promises to heal the land. Does our land need healing? Don't our communities need healing? Don't our homes need healing? Well, let's be honest, doesn't our churches need healing? Oh, how we need God to come. How we need the power and the presence of God to come in and bring healing. I'd love to spend time talking about some of the great movements of the Spirit of God. You've heard many of them, I'm sure, mentioned, but I'm not going to take that time tonight. But some of those times when the presence of God came down into communities, and a mighty wave of the Spirit of God moved across the homes of those communities, bringing about a conviction and a revelation of Christ to the souls of men and women, and a transformation that changed entire communities when revival broke out. God promises that He will heal. The responsibility to fulfill the conditions rests on your shoulders and mine. The next 10 years, I shouldn't say that because we covet it for our church. The next 10 years of ministry here, God leaves your pastor and his wife here with you. Be glorious years. There could be years of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Or there could be disastrous years. There could be disastrous years. Friends, the responsibility rests on your shoulders. Join your pastor and his wife in humbling yourself. Pray, seeking God, turning from every wicked way, so that you might see the glorious outpouring of the Spirit of God in mighty power. Oh, we've been praying for this community, and we'll continue to pray. And I believe with all my heart that God desires to do great things here. He is doing great things, but there's so much more. You want revival in Canada? Why should we begin? There was a man, and if I can add to Scripture, you'll forgive me, and a woman, sent from God. They have got the hallmarks. They've marked out John the Baptist as a man of God. They marked her upon this coming. Oh, may God grant you the privilege of seeing the multitude come to Christ. Seeing the desire of their hearts, this church, this people, become a people of prayer, purity, compassion. May God bless you. Our loving Heavenly Father, we just pray tonight that you will continue to bless your servant and his wife. Continue to use them for your glory. Continue to bless the leadership here at Newcastle Baptist Church. Pray, Lord God, that that mark of humility, godliness, faithfulness will rest upon each one as they give leadership here. Oh God, I pray that you will give this very place, send genuine revival that will spread throughout the whole nation. We thank you again, Father, for men and women who have been sent from God. Pray very especially now that you will bless this man and this woman and this family and keep them in your hand in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reverend Robert Fleming is here with us this evening, representing the Fellowship of Evangelical Baptist Churches in Central Ontario. Could you please come forward, Pastor Fleming? Following Pastor Fleming will be Pastor Jacques' sister, Joyce Squires. She'll be sharing an original song with us called Faithful that she's prepared just for this occasion.
Well, thank you, and it is an honor and a privilege to be here tonight on this great occasion. Pastor Jacques and Tatiana, I don't know you well, but I'm certainly getting to know you better this evening. God bless you as a congregation in this celebration. And God is doing great things here at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. I have not seen this facility before, but I had the opportunity to come in tonight and take a quick preview of what it looks like. And it's all to the glory of God. And it's all because of God. And so we rejoice in what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing here among you by His Holy Spirit and through the anointed leadership of Pastor Jacques and so many others in this church. Pastor Jacques, I just want to present to you in just a moment a plaque on behalf of our region, our 272 churches in Ontario and English-speaking Quebec. But first, I just want to say this. The toil, the tears, the blessings, the victories, the weddings, the funerals, the conversions, the baptisms, the Bible studies, the sermons, the visits, the prayers, the counseling, the godly leadership, lives change for all eternity. And God is doing a great work through your ministry and through your service. And to Him be the glory. Somebody wrote this, "A basketball in my hands is worth about $19. A basketball in Michael Jordan's hands is worth about $33 million. It depends whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hands is a couple of fish sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves of bread in God's hands will feed thousands. It depends whose hands it's in." And you see now, it depends whose hands it's in. So put your concerns and your worries and your ministry and your fears and your hopes and your dreams and your families and your relationships in God's hands, because it depends whose hands it's in. I'm going to ask Pastor Jacques to come to the front here with Tatiana. We do have a plaque we want to give to him. Basically saying, in celebration of 10 years of service at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, Fed Central recognizes and congratulates Reverend Jacques Nadeau. And we always quote 1 Thessalonians 1:3, "Continually remembering before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." And we always bring gift certificates as well. So we give the plaque to the pastor, but the gift certificates we give to the pastor's wife. And so we have $75 of Swiss Chalet gift certificates here, and we have $100 of Home Outfitters gift certificates here. But we do honor you two, and just rejoice in what God is doing through you, and it's to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we continue to praise Him for what is happening through you, and in you, and to all of the congregation here at the church. May you continue to celebrate God's blessing on this great place. Thank you.
Say that I join my heart to all of yours, this beautiful congregation, as we celebrate this moment this evening, and may God be glorified tonight in everything that we do, and I offer this song to Him. You can make choice. A long time ago, you chose to live your life to serve and praise the Lord. I didn't understand I didn't even try but you kept right on praying for me. And I have watched as you stayed faithful, ever living by His word. And I've seen the fruit that comes from loving Him. I have watched as you stayed faithful, living by His holy word, making Jesus the rock you stand upon. Chose to forgive, you chose to live the way He did, and you chose not to judge, you chose to love in faith. I didn't understand, so I didn't even try, but you kept right on praying for me. And I have watched as you stayed faithful, ever living by His word. And I've seen the fruit that comes from loving You. I have watched as you stayed faithful, living by His holy word, making Jesus the rock you stand upon. Till finally I questioned, oh how I'd cry, till at last the veil revealed His loving side. My sins forgiven and yesterday's gone, the promise of a new life has begun. So I watched as you stayed faithful, living by His holy word. And I am the fruit that comes from loving You. Yes, I watched as you stayed faithful, living by God's holy word, making Jesus the rock you stand upon. Oh, Jesus, the rock we stand upon.
On behalf of Mrs. Nadeau, Sunday school class, and Mrs. Jarson, in thankfulness for Pastor Jacques and Mrs. Nadeau's faithful ministry, we're going to sing, Lord, I Need You, a song of God's grace and our need for Jesus.
We have with us this evening some of Pastor Jacques and Tatiana's partners in ministry who will share some thoughts and memories that they have of the Nadeau family. Pastor David Daniels and his wife will be the first to speak. The others will follow in the order as they appear in your bulletin. As these folks come forward, I was asked by one of Pastor Jacques' accountability partners to read the following. Dear brothers and sisters of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, thank you for the kind invitation to celebrate with you the 10th anniversary of the installment of Jacques Nadeau as your pastor. Unfortunately, my own pastoral duties do not permit me to come. However, I would like to send my sincere well wishes and assure you of my ongoing prayers for your pastor and his dear wife and the church family. I can remember the Sunday evening when I first met your pastor and his wife back on the 5th of March 2000 at Port Perry Baptist Church. Since that time, he has been a treasured friend and faithful confidant, and I count myself truly blessed to know him. I can testify to having my heart lifted by his gospel conversations and his persevering love for you, as I'm sure you can too. I'm also certain, as I am sure you are, that your pastor will rightly deflect all such praise to our blessed God, who constantly demonstrates that his grace is sufficient and who delights to make known his power in our abject weakness. Praise be his name. May I always encourage you to uphold your pastor and his wife in your prayers, and I promise that I will join with you in that blessed exercise, specifically that the Lord would bless his ministry among you beyond what you previously experienced, and indeed beyond what we all could ask or imagine, to the end that sinners might be saved and saints sanctified for the name and the fame of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yours in his kingdom, Pastor Clement Thomas.
Services. He wasn't there very long, and I noticed Chuck would be that person who came alongside someone to see how they were doing spiritually, just to encourage them. And it became very clear that he was a man with a pastor's heart, even though he wasn't a pastor. And I thought this was amazing. Then a little bit later, I found out he had graduated from Ontario Bible College, Tyndale now, and had been in ministry for a few years prior to going into police work. Then things started to fall into place a little bit. Not too long after their arrival, Jacques became a member of the Board of Elders and served very well. I remember in conversations in board meetings, Jacques was always concerned with what would honor God and what would help his people. And that's what you want in an elder. That's what you want. He was a team player, a true pastor. My time in Fort Prairie finished in the spring of early summer 2002, and I don't know how long after that I began getting calls from Jacques, and he was sensing a pull back to pastoral ministry. We had many, many conversations, and we talked about what that might mean, what that might look like. One thing I remember, though, Jacques knew there were several opportunities out there, and some of them were as associate pastor, and he was thinking that's what he should do. And I rarely have done it in my life, but I said, Jacques, no, you are not an associate pastor. You are a preacher of the Word of God. So wherever God puts you, it needs to be a place where you can preach the Word of God. I think I had been a guest speaker here at Newcastle sometime during that time, and I remember mentioning, I think, to Bruce or some of the other elders here, there's a guy up in Fort Perry named Jacques. You should talk to him. And the rest, as they say, is history. When I think of Jacques in pastoral ministry, I think of Paul's statement to the Ephesian elders, recorded in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where Paul said to them, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." I want you to know, folks of Newcastle Baptist Church, I've had many conversations with Jacques. He always cares about the church of God. He always cares about the glory of God. And Jacques loves outlines and alliteration. When I think of you, Jacques, I think of a man of consistent prayer, careful preparation, and clear proclamation. So congratulations on 10 years, and may God give you 10 more, and 10 more, and 10 more. God bless you.
You're right, Mrs. Daniels. You are funnier than he is. Very well spoken. Thank you for stealing my thunder. I don't know. It is, I think, an expression of the love of your people for you that somehow you've gotten away from having a clock in front of you, in front of your pulpit. Pastor I trained under, Pastor Peter Riddersgaard of Bathroad Baptist Church, went to Israel a number of years ago. And the tour guide there was saying that, you know, the Bible teaches about the gentle shepherd and how he leads the flock. And that's how it actually works. And they were on a bus tour, and they stopped by, and here comes this load of sheep along, I guess they call it the flock. And they were going to, the pastors that were in the bus on the tour were going to see if this was so. Well, there's this fella, and he's behind the sheep, and he is cursing and beating them, and just about the head and ears. And they all look at the tour guide, and they say, well, I said, that's not the shepherd, that's the butcher. Our modern evangelical church has a number of butchers. Some of them are very kindly. Some of them will promise to make for you every day a Friday. Some of them will sell their books from the pulpit instead of proclaiming the free grace of God in Jesus Christ. You have a shepherd. A shepherd who loves his sheep because he loves first the one who gave his life to the sheep. A shepherd who feeds his sheep with the Word of God, who leads them to rich pastures
who leads them to still waters. That is the sort of shepherd that you have. It's a shepherd that is all too rare in our churches, which suffer from the affliction of the butcher. But you have a shepherd who loves you. Because I've talked to him, I've heard him preach, I've heard him talk about you, and I've heard him pray for you. He loves you. Why does he love you? He loves you first because he loves his God. In the passage after we read, we hear of Jesus in John chapter 1 calling his disciples. And one fellow that he ended up calling was Nathanael. And what he said of Nathanael was, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. That is your pastor." He is a man who is a Christ-like in his simplicity, his love of the Word of God, and the people of God. It allows him to be genuine. What you see in your pastor is what there is. There's nothing behind. Just as God has shown himself as he is in Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected, there's no trick God in behind him. So behind your pastor, there is no tricks. There's what you see in him. He loves his God, he loves his family, he loves He's a man who is humble. Winston Churchill once said about his successor, Clement Attlee is a very humble man, and that as well because he has a great deal to be humble about. Your pastor in human terms doesn't. He's an accomplished preacher. He is a successful father, husband. He is, in the proper sense, well known in the community of God's people for his service. Why is he humble? Because he is. Biblical humility is not in seeing how poor I am, but seeing how great my God is. And your pastor serves a God through whose sovereign and electing grace he has called himself a church, who freely gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and will not withhold from his people any good thing. And looking at that God as your pastor does, and thereby being humble. Not putting it on, be humble because he sees the greatness and the magnitude of our God, the greatness shown, the compassion that sent his Son to the cross for his people. That is your pastor. And with that, in the preaching, the faith once delivered to the saints, preach it not just in doctrinal purity, which he does, but with fire. I've never seen a man like your pastor who from notes preaches with fire. You know, in the Great Awakening, that like Jonathan Edwards preached from notes. Your pastor preaches with fire, which he knows fire that is purified in the fire of the love of God, covering the blood of his Son for those who he knows. You have a shepherd. He's not just a shepherd in your flock. He's a man who's known in his community. Paul writes to Timothy, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." Your pastor's a man who's known in his community. I've talked to people that I run with, I've talked to folks that I work with. They know Pastor Jacques. And whether they love him and love his Lord, or it's, oh yes, you know that Jacques has been there. Been there to represent his Lord. There he is. We thank God for your pastor, our church, Bonneville Baptist, sends our greetings to your church and thank you for your fellowship. I thank you personally, Jacques, for the friend you've been to me and the shoulder you've given me to lean on and the ear that you've opened to hear as a pastor my burdens and my love to share.
It is good to be with you tonight. And having been here many times, sharing ministry, sharing worship with you, my love and affection for Tatiana and for Jacques and the family overflows to all of you. Consider your family in Fort Perry, and I bring you greetings from Fort Perry. Some of them are here tonight, not all of them have come, but their heart is with you as you celebrate God's grace to your church family in this John can touch hands. And first, by way of confession, I did write out some notes to be sure that I stayed within the given time limit, and then I left those notes on my desk. So I'm not sure what comes next. Secondly, so I was chatting with my son in the car on the way down about, you know, what to say and, you know, what kind of evening this was. You know, it feels like a memorial service, but they're still alive, and maybe it's a farewell service, but nobody told me. I think they're staying. I don't think they're going anywhere. And at this point, you know, there's been enough people already that it gets kind of repetitive, doesn't it? I mean, how many more nice things can we say about this family? And I feel a little bit like saying simply this, and then I'll say it, then I'll explain it. Congratulations, you did what you were supposed to do. And that sounds much less glorious, doesn't it? And yet it is a glorious thing. When a sinner saved by grace, two sinners saved by grace, called by God, equipped to serve, give themselves wholly and completely to the task, and they stay at it. This will come as a shock to most of you because you're so wonderful, but every day in every pastor's lives, there are so many reasons for us not just to give up, but to put our head through a brick wall on the way out. There are things that frustrate. There are things that discourage. There are things that make us sad. There are things that overwhelm us. There are those things which make us wonder, is this where I'm supposed to be, and is this what I'm supposed to do? But by God's grace, God has given you a man and woman, a family, that rests in the calling, the gracious calling and equipping and purposes of God. And so they've done what they're supposed to do. And by God's grace, they will continue. I am blessed because I've observed Jacques and Tatiana. I've watched them in ministry at Port Perry Baptist Church. I am grateful to know tonight that it's David Daniels I can blame for his abandoning us and coming here 10 years ago. I was blaming Jacques. I said, Jacques, how could you do this? I just got here. You must stay. You must stay. And here is David Daniels telling, no, go over there, go over there. And our loss was truly your gain. And I've rejoiced to watch, again, not only in Port Perry and in the relationships there, but then here in Newcastle, and to see God working in them and through them in the lives of so many. And where you see lives changing, where you see a ministry expanding, where you see the voice of God's people beginning to grow in volume in a community, you know who gets the credit? God does. That's an evidence of His grace at work through His servant. That's an evidence of God's grace giving a voice, giving wisdom, giving courage, giving boldness. It's God's grace that has saturated the lives of your pastor and his wife and family. And by God's grace, has saturated you as well. And so we, in the end, and I should say this as well, I want to say this. I have not only observed Jacques and Tatiana and watched what they were and are to you, I've experienced blessing after blessing through your friendship and love, your support and encouragement. You've been my pastor and my friend. And there have been many phone calls and conversations, even in the most recent of this. And that will continue. And you have been just such a rich blessing to Brandon and I, to our family. And it is good. It is a good thing, a right thing, a healthy thing to have friends in ministry. And we are grateful to be in the same neighborhood in ministry. The last thing I would say is this. Actually, two last things. Because you never really finish when the pastor says, in conclusion, he's not really done. You know that. Now, two things. One is, as you've already been encouraged, continue to pray for your pastor and his wife and family. And pray with greater passion and diligence and persistence, because it's only getting more difficult to be faithful to Jesus in this day. Our culture isn't, you know, exploding with evidences of love for God. It grows darker day by day. So pray for them as you seek God's grace to you as a church family. And be grateful that God has given you a pastor who loves Jesus more than he loves you. It is death to a church when the pastor loves the people more than he loves the Savior. It is a great blessing to the people of God when he loves Jesus most of all. And that is true of your pastor. And so finally, and I'll finish. I just want to say to Tatiana, to Jacques, I thank God for both of you. And I thank you for, thank God for the family. And I trust, and I pray that by God's grace, the best is still to come.
It's a great privilege for me to speak tonight. When I started preparing for this evening, I struggled a bit, not because I didn't have many wonderful things to say about Tatiana, of course, but I knew she would not want to be glorified. And in the beautiful and faithful way that God always does, he sent me to the same verse as Ian True. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I believe Tatiana accepted Christ when she was 11, is that right? And from some of the enlightening stories that she's told us in Starved, she was possibly not the gentlest and sweetest of 11-year-olds. But God started his work in her on that day, on the day that he saved her. And since then, he has molded her, challenged her, changed her into the woman of God that we see and have as our pastor's wife today. My prayer is that you leave here today knowing Tatiana a bit better, but glorifying God and what he can do in just one life, and being challenged to allow him to be glorified in your own life. I was very thankful when I was asked to speak a bit about Tatiana and her 10 years here. I consider her to be a wonderful friend. We don't chat on the phone. We don't go out for coffee, and I've never had them to my house for dinner. So you can all hold me to that now, okay? So you have to have them to your house for dinner. But I have been privileged to serve in several different ministries with Tatiana. I must admit, it took me a while to figure Tatiana out, to be honest. Her truly Peruvian ways are a little bit different than our Canadian ways. But I absolutely love it. I always know where I stand with Tatiana. I have been blessed to have her make me laugh a lot. And I've been blessed to watch her teach and to watch her minister. Most possibly, all of you have been hugged or greeted by Tatiana over the 10 years. Some of you know her very well, and others just know that she's always impeccably dressed. She has a lovely, warm smile and a warm heart. So I'll tell you just a little bit about the last 10 years, but I'll go back a little bit as well. I once asked Tatiana, I said, how did you feel when John decided to leave policing and go into the ministry? I mean, policing is a good job, and there's a good pension, and there's a lot of security in that. And she just very simply said something like this. She said, I always knew. I just waited, and I prayed. And you, the congregation of NSCC, are the end of her prayers. Her husband's now the shepherd of this church alongside his ministry with her. And we're very thankful for those prayers that she prayed for her family and for Jacques over the years. When they arrived at NSCC, Tatiana was working at Ontario Shores with the Mental Health. She worked there from 1986 to 2007. And she loved her job, I understand from her son. She loved her job, and she shared the gospel with the people who she worked with and with the patients that she cared for. And I imagine that she just treated everyone the way that she treats everyone here. I've listened to my own children talk about how much they love her Sunday school class. They learn so much from her. I've watched her in Stars. I've watched how much she loves each of those girls like they're her own daughters. I've watched her lead many girls to Christ, and I've seen her passion. While Tatiana was working at Ontario Shores, she injured her shoulder. She had to lift heavy pots and things like that, but I think it actually might have had just as much to do with her back at 6 a.m. in the morning, quite possibly. And the same year that she had to have surgery, her father passed away. And I know from speaking with Tatiana that she adored her father very much. She loved him greatly, and I'm sure she was immensely proud of the way Tatiana has allowed God to work in her life. So she traveled to Peru to be with her family, and she stayed there for some time, but despite her grief due to her dad and her injury, she continued to be a faithful pastor's wife, a faithful mom, and a faithful church member. At NSBC, Tatiana teaches Sunday school for grades 4 to 6. She leads STARS. She organizes fellowship lunch, summer picnic, Easter breakfast, guests coming to dinner. So she more than meets the requirement for a Baptist pastor's wife. She feeds us physically, and she feeds us spiritually as well. She's been the chair of our missions committee since 2004 and has been on the Women of Faith committee since it began. She also supports the opportunity for other women to learn by providing daycare for the children during the Tuesday morning Bible study. She takes the command in Titus chapter 2 very seriously to teach younger women. When needed, she has taught the young women's Bible study and has spoken at several women's conferences and ladies' retreats. And on top of all this, I know that Tatiana runs to keep herself healthy. She cooks wonderfully, and I have said she vacuums a lot. But these are just the things that we see. I suspect that Tatiana spends a good deal of time and energy praying for and encouraging our pastor. And for that, we should all be very thankful. I tried to look up some poems and sayings that pastor's wife that I could use tonight, but I couldn't stop thinking about one passage in Scripture, and there isn't really a more apt description from Tatiana, truly. If you could turn with me to Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above Ruth. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. She, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rides the boat as yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers the field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the staff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, yes, she reaches her hand out to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known on the gate, and when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments herself and supplies sashes for the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread violently. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hand, and let her own words praise her name. God has blessed Tatiana in many ways. He drew her to himself. He saved her, he sanctified her, and has molded her into the woman she is today. He has blessed her, challenged her, and loved her, and we, as a church, in turn, have been blessed. May he truly receive the glory, honor, and praise. And I have just a few notes from some of the stars and some of the young ones. Thank you.
Another celebration in September of last year. That celebration was not too lengthy. It only lasted 5 hours. They were celebrating another pastor, and I had the great displeasure of being placed last. And I got up and looked at the congregation. I thought I could see on their faces one question: why? I think it is probably because I didn't learn in seminary the lessons on brevity, so I shall execute that this evening. Before I do that, Pastor Jacques and Tatiana, I want to say to you that the folks at Java Street really, really love you guys. And we also love you in the seminary. We're thankful that though your concern is for the church here, where God has placed you, you have a greater vision for the church at large. for the body of Christ, for the training of men, for the training of women to do the work of the Lord. And so we are very grateful, we're very thankful for your prayers and for your faithfulness and your support to the work of the Lord at TBS, Toronto Baptist Seminary and John Street Baptist Church. If I would leave you with a word, then it would be from Isaiah 50 and verse 4, where the writer says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word in season to the weary. He awakens my ear morning by morning, that I might hear." My prayer is that God would continue to give you the tongue of the learned, that maybe the words of the great hymn writer, Isaac, that you may say a word for the glory of God, that you may say a word for the honor of God's people, and that you may say a word for the comfort and the blessing and the nourishment of God's people. That God would continue to give you the tongue of the learned. If you're going to have a tongue of the learned, you must have the ear. God must awaken your ear morning by morning, that you will hear from Him, that you will hear in the dissonance of life and the cant of life, that you will hear His voice in Scripture speaking to you, so that you may have a word for His name. May God fill you with His word. May His voice be sweet in your ears. May God use you in years to come to be a tremendous blessing, not only here, but in Canada.
I want to take just a final minute to thank each of you who have contributed to the success of this evening. To those of you that have traveled a distance to share your thoughts, and to those of you that have ministered in music. We thank our ladies for preparing the snacks that we'll be enjoying shortly, and to the committee who has planned this evening, and to each of you for your presence here with us tonight. It's been a wonderful evening of thanksgiving. God has indeed blessed us here in Newcastle. In closing, I want to remind NFBC of the pastoral profile that you created as you began your search for a new pastor over 11 years ago. I'd just like to read that for you. The pastor of NFBC will be a man who is qualified according to the Scripture in 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, and 1 Peter 5. These qualifications will be recognized by the church as being evident in his life. He will be called of God to the position of pastor. He will be a man of prayer. He will have doctrinal convictions in agreement with the NFBC covenants and statement of faith. He will be able to preach the word of God in a meaningful and an effective manner, presenting the gospel unashamedly in an attitude of love and concern for the lost, remaining firm in the truth. He will be able to teach and apply the truths from the Word of God, equipping the saints for service and ministry. He will love the people and the ministry, and his love will be obvious in his attitudes and actions. He will possess a superior knowledge of the Scriptures. He will be able to deal with difficult situations and conflict in a godly manner. He will be discerning. He will hate sin. He will have a wife that is fully supportive of his ministry and is active in the church as well. He will be a real person who is humble, gentle, integral, and accountable. I cannot think of any pastor I have personally sat under who has so exemplified the characteristics as you folks have outlined in this list. Those of us who have started attending NFBC since Pastor Jacques' arrival are blessed by the diligent work that was done by you. Thank you for setting such a high standard. The church and the community have been and will continue to be blessed as we move forward in the ministry here. Pastor Jacques, would you and Tatiana like to come forward? As they come forward, you'll find in your bulletin the words for one of our pastor's favorite hymns. We'll sing this closing hymn together after the Nadeaus share with us.
Good evening. I have asked Rack if I can thank you guys first, because I'm sure I'm going to cry by the time he finishes speaking. But first, I just want to thank you, my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, for calling me to Himself. And I want to, like Bruce just said, we give Him all the honor, all the glory goes to Him, and He alone is worthy to be praised. There's no other man in this church that needs to be praised. It's only our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I said this was for Rock. I didn't know that we're going to say anything about me. I'm thank you for the choir, from the kids. I absolutely loved it. Thank you so much. This is not about me. Is your pastor the one, like Ruth said, he prays for you by name. He loves you deeply. Probably you will never know in this side of history, of eternity, how deeply He loves each one of you. Peter just read, when we came to Port Perry, from Port Perry, that was our standing church. Thank you so much, guys, for coming. When we came from Port Perry, we knew that this church was a hurting church, but because of faithful, godly men, they stood the test. God has blessed this church. And God, as long as we honor God first and put God first, the Lord will continue to bless this church. And I remember when we were coming to Newcastle, I knew that we were coming to Newcastle before Jack did. I stopped working in my gardens. All the neighbors knew something was going on. Right, Janine? And when we knew, very quickly, we love you very deeply. Even our boys love you very, very deeply. And we pray that we would come to Newcastle to love the people, to preach the word, to teach the word, and to pray for you. And that is your pastor. He has changed over the 10 years we have grown older. Some of you growing better. And the 10 years that we've been here, his preaching has changed. He's more passionate. He believes that he is preaching as a dying man to dying people. And every time he gets up in the pulpit, he preaches as his last sermon to preach. He prays for you earnestly. And you probably have known for the past 10 years of his preaching has been holiness. Seeking that the people of God here, the people here at Newcastle, to be holy people. Whatever we travel, whatever God goes to preach, I go with him. I love going with him. He always finds someone anywhere we go so he can share the gospel with them and encourage them in their walk with God. As a pastor's wife, thank you, Angela, for all the stuff you guys said about me. But I think, as a Christian woman and as a pastor's wife, my primary role is to pray for my husband, to honor my husband, to respect my husband, to obey my husband, to be there for him, to love him. Sweetie, I love you with all my heart. You're my soulmate. There's no other person in the whole world I'd rather be than you. I love you very much, and God has blessed us with two wonderful sons and two beautiful daughter-in-law in and out. And we love you very deeply. Jacques and I love you guys very, very much. We pray for you. We pray. We don't know what the next 10 years hold for us. We pray we stay here forever. But we know that whatever the Lord wants us to do, Him we will follow. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you so, so much to all those tonight who have, or over the last few weeks, organized this whole thing to the glory of God, to the glory of Christ. Thank you so much for everyone who participated tonight. I'm overwhelmed. I am absolutely overwhelmed. I understand, and I will say from the bottom of my heart, it is only the grace of God, beginning to end. We all know that. It's not about me. If it was my words, they would fall to the ground. It was my passion, it wouldn't change a single person's heart. It's only God's grace, it's only God's Spirit, and He gets all the glory. I want to thank the Lord for certain people in my life that have really blessed me, and one of them, the most important person, is my wife. Tatiana, I want you to know that I have loved you and continue to love you with all my heart. You have been such a blessing to me, you have been such an encouragement to me. I don't have a better friend on the face of this planet than you. And like Tatiana said a few minutes ago, there's no other person that I'd rather spend time with than my wife. She has been a blessing to me, a real blessing to me, and she is my soulmate. I pray that God gives us many more years together. I also want to thank my two boys. I just want to say this. Guys, I never had a dad. I did. But you all know. I want to thank these guys, too, in a minute. But my dad was gone when I was 14 years old. I never knew what a dad was like. I didn't know how to relate. I never told this to anyone. My greatest fear when you guys came into our lives was, how was I going to relate to you guys? Would I fail as a father to you? I just want to say that by God's grace, you have made me and your mother such proud people. There is no father on the face of this earth that is more proud of his two boys than I am of you. And I'll challenge any man in this room to that. I mean that, guys. Because I see inside of you guys a passion for the same Savior and King that I have. And I pray that you continue to serve the Lamb of the Cross. The Lamb of the Cross. And I pick those words very carefully, guys, because that is a call to a life of suffering. Death, but life out of that death. And I pray that you would be followers of that Lamb of the Cross all the days of your life. And I will be able to lay my head down in my grave knowing that my two boys are out there serving the King that I've sought to serve. Sarah, I want to thank you for coming into our lives too, and how the Lord has brought you into our lives. We've only known you for a few years, but you're a lovely, lovely girl. And we treat you like our own daughter. We have loved you, and we will love you, and we just praise God for you, Sarah. And I want to encourage you too, to continue to follow Christ with all your heart, no matter what comes your way, to love Jesus more than you love Nathan, my son, to love Christ more than the kids He's going to give to you guys, and to continue to seek to be a woman of honor. And I know the Lord will bless you. I want to thank my family. I mean this, guys. You know what, guys? I don't get a chance to talk to you guys as often as I would. My life is so busy. It's not because I don't love you guys. I love you guys, all of you. These are my twin sister, my two brothers, and my older sister, the one who sang. I love you. I pray for you constantly. You're always on my heart. Always on my heart. Gary, my sister's husband, and Earl's here too, my other sister's husband. Love you guys. And thank you so much for being here, guys. Thank you so much for the love that you've had for me over the years. The little one, the young one, the baby of the family. But I love you guys, and I thank you, Bob, for traveling as far as Ottawa to be here tonight. Thank you so much for doing that. And to this church, I just want to say this. Guys, from the bottom of my heart, Tatiana's already said this, we love you guys very much. When we came here, I just want to say, I was terrified to death. I was scared to death. You asked David Daniels. I sat down in his office one day and I said, David, I'm scared. What am I going to say to these people? I have no idea what I'm going to say to these people. Still, every Monday morning I get up, I'm still scared to death. Are you? Are you still scared to death? I'm scared to death of what I'm going to say to these people. But we came here with one passion and one passion only. And Tatiana already mentioned it. We came here to want to preach the word and to love you. We have tried to do that over the last 10 years, and for as long as God keeps us here, we make this vow before Him and before you to continue to do our best to preach the word and to love you. I think God does, John, I think the Lord does have great things in store for us if we're willing to do the very thing that you preached about tonight, which has always been the passion of my heart. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, I'll heal their land. I pray that this would not only be my passion, but it would be your passion as well. I pray that every single one who is a member or adherent of this church would walk away remembering the words of that verse. And that the next 10 years, if the Lord keeps us here for 10 years, we would see great and marvelous things take place, not because we are such a great people, but because we've acknowledged that we're not a great people, but we have a great God. And we've sought His face, we've turned from wicked ways, and we've watched what He's done. Thank you so much for tonight. Thank you so much for your great love. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us. As we have in that other room, the gymnasium, which used to be our auditorium, one statement that I pray would never, ever, ever leave our mindset in this church: we preach Christ crucified. That's who we preach. No one else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. To Him be all the glory and the praise.
Well, it seems fitting that we bring this evening to an end singing one of Pastor Jacques' favorite hymns. I'm going to invite you to please stand as we sing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God."
Darkness grim, mortal I will still, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, His kingdom is forever.
Well, what a great night it's been. A wonderful night. But folks, don't leave yet. The party is just beginning. Many of you know that there's been preparations made for food and beverages in the new fellowship hall just to our south here. So please stick around. Join Pastor Jacques and Tatiana and the rest of the family. Spend some time speaking with them and letting them know how much they are appreciated. Jacques and Tatiana, I just want to let you know you guys are. You say it all the time to them, that you love the church so much. I hope that tonight you guys have felt just a little bit of how much this church loves you. And the reason that this church loves you is because you point to the Lord loving Christ. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless everyone else. Thank you so much to the speakers and everyone else who's come from the distance to be here with us. Do stick around and just close tonight. Lord God, we have been reminded tonight many times that you are a great God. You are a great God. And you do great things through your people. We thank you tonight, Lord, for the things that you have done through Pastor John and Tatiana. We thank you that you've so fashioned their hearts that their one desire is to live for Christ above all other things. And then secondly, to see His people do the same. We thank you for their example. We thank you for their love. We thank you for the effects that we see through their ministry as this church grows and continues to grow. Not only in number, but in faithfulness. Lord, we glorify you. I pray for Jacques and Tatiana, that when they go home, that feeling of overwhelmingness just continue on. They would be overwhelmed with love for their God and holiness. All glory be to Jesus Christ.